Evening. Thanks everyone for your prayers. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts this evening. If grab a Bible, they're in various seats around you. There might be some more stacked at the side if you need more at the side. We're in Acts chapter 8. Oh, I didn't look up what page it was on. Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. 1101. Thanks, Jenny. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. It will come up on the screen as well. Yes. The rustling has finished. Right, so it says, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south on the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. "This is a passage of scripture," the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I think this is such a great story of God's heart and God's love for his world. It talks about mission and responding to God's call. And for all of those reasons, it's really great that we get to look at it tonight. But I'm going to come to those reasons in a moment and tell you why I really like it. I really like it because I think it's funny. I think this is a funny passage. I think it's got some random bits in it which you just don't always get in the Bible. I see comedy in it, and I love it when I see comedy in the Bible because it brings it to life for me. So I'm going to go through some of those funnier bits now. We've got a map, I think, of this journey that Philip is on. So an angel of the Lord says to Philip, "Go down to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So this is what it looks like. The desert road is from Jerusalem, green arrow, down to Gaza. I really like maps. If you don't, you just go for it, because it is quite interesting. So it goes from Jerusalem, the green arrow, down to Gaza, the yellow arrow. Philip is in Samaria, the orange arrow. So the Lord's calling Philip to go down to the desert road, the road that runs between Jerusalem and Gaza. He's in Samaria, so he has to get, first of all, down to Jerusalem. That journey, Samaria down to Jerusalem, on Google Maps, says it takes about 22 hours to walk. Presuming that he slept, it probably took him at least 2 days, if not longer, to get down to the beginning of the road that God called him to. So, we know that it's taken him a bit of a walk to get down to the desert road. He gets down there. We don't know how much walking he does before he sees this chariot. But anyway, after a few days of walking, he's walking along. He probably sees a chariot in the distance of a dust of cloud from the wheels and the horses. And then the Spirit says to Philip, "Go up to that chariot and stay near it." And this is my favourite bit of the passage, because understanding the distance already that he's travelled. And poor Philip, after days of walking, is then told by God to run up to this chariot and to stay near it. I think that's hilarious. So it's being pulled by horses. It's going faster than his going. But he has to like run up to it and then just like stay jogging by it as it's going along. Imagine being the Ethiopian eunuch and then like putting a scroll down and seeing this guy just jogging along the chariot beside you. I can hear Jenny really appreciates this. Thanks, Jenny. And then at the end of the passage, we've got this crazy teleportation, which I don't know if it's anywhere else, it could be, but the Holy Spirit just whisks Philip away to this new place. And I'm like, well, why didn't he do that in the first place? You know, you got him walking for a few days, but maybe God thought he'd done enough walking by then. Anyway, that's why I love, one of the reasons why I love this story, just because by trying to visualize it, and by trying to be in the story, just helps it come alive for me. So that's the way I love to look at scripture. But there's loads more that God's saying in this passage. And we need to look a little bit more closely at who these characters are to see what God's saying. So we begin at verse 26. It says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. So we pause there. Who's Philip? And what's his story? What's his situation? Where's he come from? If you flick back to the beginning of chapter 8 in your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 8, we read about the situation that Philip's in. It says, those who had been scattered, so to put that in a bit of context, the stoning of Stephen happens and a great persecution comes about for the early church, and then the early church scatter, and Philip is one of those from the early church who is scattering. So those who had been scattered, verse 4, preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs that he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. This is the situation that Philip is coming from. This is a fruitful time for him. This is a time where God is being glorified through the work that he's doing, through the miracles that are happening. Through Philip being in that place, there was great joy in that city. There is no doubt that what is happening is good. Yet God calls Philip out of that situation to the desert road. If it were me and I was looking at what Philip was doing, I'd say, stay there, keep going. This is good stuff. All of these amazing miracles, casting out evil spirits, healing people all over the place. And not just for the one, but for the many. It says that Philip was reaching the crowds. The crowds paid close attention. He is reaching crowds of people. Surely this is best for growing God's kingdom. That's what I would say. But that's not what God's saying. Our economy is an economy of the highest number is best. That more is better. But God's economy doesn't work like that. God seems to not be about the crowds. God seems to be about the individual. And we see this in the life of Jesus. When Jesus is most popular in his ministry, he's so often surrounded by hundreds and maybe thousands of people, but we read about him getting away from the crowds. If he wanted, maybe he could have spent all of his time preaching to thousands of people. But instead, we mostly read about him spending time with one or two or three or 12 people, the small numbers, the individuals. This is God's economy, because our God is a personal God. A God that leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And that seems to be what's happening here. God is saying to Philip, leave the crowd, leave the 99. I've got one I want you to go to. And that one is this Ethiopian eunuch. So what do we know about him? Verse 27 says, he, Philip, started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So a eunuch is a man who have had his bits cut off. Because of this, in the Jewish tradition that this is that these guys are living in, the Jewish tradition of the day, it would mean that he was seen as unclean. He was an unclean man. And because he was seen as unclean, he couldn't go to the temple to worship. He couldn't worship in the temple. We've just read that he went to Jerusalem to worship. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he would have been refused entrance to the temple and to the baptismal pools, which the Jews and the new converts to Judaism went into to cleanse himself before going into the temple to worship. He would have been refused entrance to the temple and to the baptismal pools. He would have been seen as unclean simply because of who he was, but with no way to become clean. Our Ethiopian eunuch would have made a journey of probably over 1,000 miles or more to come and worship at that temple, only to be turned away. So when we see the context of the lives that these people are living in, To me, it makes so much sense about why God is what God is doing in this passage. God calls Philip away from the many to this one man to reveal. This reveals masses, I think, about God's character, about who God is. Here is a man who has been rejected, who has been seen as unclean, who's been turned away from worshipping in the temple because of who he is. And God says to Philip, go down to the desert road, meet with this one man and talk to him, because I want this one man to know that I do not turn him away, that I accept him, that in me he is included, that he isn't rejected, and that I can make him clean. That's what God is all about. This is the message of the gospel. God says, come to me, I have made a way through my son, Jesus Christ, that none need ever be rejected, that none may be unclean, but that all can be forgiven. This passage reveals God's heart for his world, and it's a heart that he calls us to share. That's the heart of the mission that we've been given by Jesus, I believe. And he gives this to us in the form of the greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And the second is this, to love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus is calling his church to love big time. And that's what's happening in this passage. Philip is being called out of this fruitfulness in Samaria to go and reveal God's love to this one man who has been rejected. I mean, that's God's heart. And then this is just another thing which I think reveals God's amazing heart for his church, for his world. So the Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah 53, and then he bumps into Philip, and Philip tells him the good news about Jesus, and then he gets baptized, and it's really wonderful, and he goes away rejoicing. But this is kind of me guessing, as an assumption, but if he had carried on reading this scroll of Isaiah as he carried on his journey home, he would have read this in chapter 56. So this is an assumption of mine, but this is scripture, so it's all good. It says in Isaiah chapter 56, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, and let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree, for this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. I really hope that he carried on reading that scroll of Isaiah and that he read that bit, because it reveals that God has always been a God who includes all, who loves all, who is for all. Not just since the incarnation of Jesus, not just since the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has always been a God who includes all and who loves all. That's the story, I think, for each of us here, that God came away from the crowds to find each of us, to reveal his love for us and invite us into that love, that we may then go and reveal that love to others. That's what all of our mission partners are doing around the world, revealing God's love to the people that they come into contact with. We're called to do that as well as his church, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. That's our mission, to be the church that shows God's love for all. Now, when I was reading this passage in preparation for this evening, it was a situation about Philip which really resonated with me. So he's in this place, Samaria, which is really fruitful, and God's calling him to the desert road. And I feel like that's the sort of situation that we're in. We're in this place, All Saints, where there's so much fruit, there's so much good stuff happening, Alpha courses, Christmas services, people are becoming Christians, our home group, so much fruit coming from that, and a whole load of other things happening all over the place, which is full of goodness. And God's calling us out of that situation, out of this situation, to our own desert road, to something that we just don't know what it's going to look like. And I found this along this journey of discernment that I've been on, that we've been on. I found this really difficult. I've found myself really finding it difficult to keep walking in this and to keep going in this. And I was reading this and I was like, how does Philip find it so much easier to do this than I do? And the Bible tells us that God is good. Psalm 86. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love. The Bible tells us that God is faithful to Timothy. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. The Bible tells us that God is with us. Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. The Bible tells us God loves us. 1 John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. I think the difference between me and Philip was that Philip got God's personality and his character and who God was about a lot more than I do. Philip knew God's goodness. Philip knew God's faithfulness. Philip knew that God was with him. Philip knew that God loved him. But it can be so difficult to remain in that mindset when we live in a world which is constantly throwing us curveballs, where there's pain, where there's difficulty. It's really hard sometimes to reconcile these truths that we have in the Word when we live in a world where there's the enemy prowling around like a lion. But that's why God's Word is a lamp to our feet. I believe it's truth. And I have to keep reminding myself of it. Georgia, God is good. Follow him. Georgia, God is faithful. Trust him. Georgia, God is with us. Don't be afraid. Georgia, God loves you. So much harder to follow God's call when we forget who our God is. It's so much harder to tell people about the love that God has for them when we're not living in that love ourselves. But we've got these amazing gifts of God's Word, full of truth about who God is. Let's allow God's Word to be a louder voice to us than the voice of this world. And we've been given the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that comes and lives within us when we give our lives to him. The Spirit that God uses to minister us, to speak to us. Let's allow that Spirit to speak to us tonight and be reminded of this love that God has for us, that who God is.